Here we go into a brave new America where everything is free. It's all free. Except chicken. We're running out of that. I'll get to that story in a bit. But watching the address by Joe Biden, man, we'll spend money on everything. And we're going to have free child care and free college. And we're going to forgive student loans. And we're going to give more money to this and that. When you're buying votes, man, you got to be serious about it. You got to go all in, apparently. Congressman Tim Walberg from Michigan's 7th Congressional District joining me now. Congressman, good to have you back.
Good to be with you, and I'm coming to you free today.
I'm free. I greatly appreciate that. You know, I mean, nothing is free. Well, actually, either nothing is free or everything is free. I mean, let's be honest. Donald Trump signed a massive bailout of $2.3 trillion or something. That money, there's still $1 trillion left. Then Joe Biden rams through a deal for $1.9 trillion, Democrats only supporting it. Nothing from that has been spent. He wants another $4 trillion pushed out for infrastructure, for paying for child care, you know, sending monthly checks to anybody who has children and on and on. I'm sorry, but this is not spending for the pandemic. This is spending that goes on for the next 10 or 15 years and will take twice that long to pay for. Correct?
Yeah, in the first 100 days, he has allocated $6 trillion of spending. Only a slight fraction of that is on the actual spending that the bill allegedly is supposed to be for, whether it's infrastructure, roads, bridges, broadband, port, that type of thing, or whether it be on COVID, which had about 6% on COVID expenditures, actually, for the health care of people. So that's, you know, that ends up, when you look at it, with $6 trillion, that ends up costing about $46,000 per household, and it's 30% of our entire economy. That is unbelievable. It's unsustainable. And thankfully, I think we can beat a lot of that back, but that's the effort that this president, this administration, this Democrat Party is going to right now to buy votes, whether it's illegal immigration at the border or whether it's just simply giving free stuff, talking about it, maybe never giving it, but people hear it. And I hope people wise up to the fact that this is not what America should be.
Well, I heard some gnashing of teeth and clenching of fists from the left because they're worried. Not that he's putting all this money out there. That doesn't bother him at all. But the fact that it doesn't roll out properly and that people don't see the benefit of all this squandered money. And therefore, in 2022, the Democrats get run out of Washington in large numbers, which I believe will happen. And they believe that if this isn't rolled out properly, it will set back the progressive movement for a generation, maybe longer. One could hope.
We could hope so, and I think the Republicans have to be wise, and we have to talk about the fact that we do care about people. If you heard Tim Scott's address, there was care there. There was sensitivity, but there was rationality. We as Americans cannot commit humanitarian crisis at the border, nor can we commit it in our taxpayers' pockets and our grandkids' and great-grandkids' pockets with the loss of freedoms and opportunity. And I think probably you picked it up because you'd be perceptive to the language, Steve. But a chilling comment that the president has made before, and he made that very night, when he never talked about the republic, he talked about democracy. But he said there is no amendment that's absolute. Now, wait a second. All that is, that's code word for our Constitution is in flux. We don't have to follow it. So the First Amendment doesn't mean what we think it means.
Correct.
When there's freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of press and all of that. We have seen the demise, a lot of that freedoms, and this president is willing to say there is no absolute to this Constitution. So Second Amendment liberties, First Amendment liberties, and every liberty given there, and especially the first 10 amendments, which is the Bill of Rights, is at caution as well. So not only the spending, not only the free stuff, not only the giveaways, but we're talking about losing our Constitution, which made this country the most successful country ever in the history of mankind, and the beacon of freedom where people yearn to come and even do illegal things to come because of what America is, at least in its idea.
And somehow, Congressman, somehow in there, At the end of his speech, I found this very odd, and I'm sure you saw this as well. Instead of "we the people," and I don't know if it was on his script, if it was accidental, or he meant to say it, I don't know, "we the government" came out. I'm like, yeah. "We the government." Well, "we the government." And then they said, you know, government's going to be the enemy again. These are some of the commentators after the fact. Big government has always been the enemy. That was the whole point of the United States Constitution, was to keep big government away from the rights and the freedoms and the liberties of the people. That was the point of the framers of the Constitution, was to maintain the liberty of the individual and keep big government at bay. Or did I miss something in government class?
Well, Dr. Gruber, you just gave a complete summation of what our country is so unique for and why it has been so great, and it could continue to be great. But we are the government. We the people are the government, but we elect people to represent us, and they're supposed to represent us according to the laws and the Constitution. And if they're not, they're supposed to go away. What we're seeing now is a change from that, and saying we the government are the government who will tell you, the people, what you can be, what you can think, what you can state, and if not, we have resources out there that will cancel you, will put you away, all sorts of things. And that has to change, or else we the people will be a mere shadow of the strength of a nation of what we used to be.
Well, you know, we look at a couple of things in that speech. I want to ask you one more thing about that speech, because Joe Biden, when he was running for president, and Kamala Harris the same, downplayed the vaccine, dismissed the vaccine. Oh, we won't do it unless there's complete transparency. They undermined the confidence in the vaccines. Now they take complete credit for Operation Warp Speed. I mean, how far would it go today if Joe Biden had stood up there and said, you know, I didn't agree with a lot of what my predecessor did, but I agree with President Trump when he put together Operation Warp Speed. He brought American exceptionalism to the forefront. We delivered vaccines for the world. If he had done something along those lines, wouldn't that bring people together in a way that we really need more than ever?
I really think so. And as I sat there listening, because I wasn't a part of the select group that was invited to put on a show there in the People's House that day, which is untoward from whatever has been done. But he, first 15 minutes, was taking credit for all that Donald Trump and the Republican administration had done, whether it was with Operation Warp Speed, putting in place the mechanisms to get the vaccines out, already having the plan for 100 million doses in the first 100 days. That was Donald Trump's plan. He took credit for it, but also the economy that is doing far better than it should be doing because of our tax reform that we put in place and the regulatory changes that we put in place and standing up to nations like China. All of that has allowed this country to go through a pandemic and not be as bad as it could be, but for the fact that governors like our own still shut down parts of our economy, and we have an unemployment insurance extension coming from the federal government that encourages people not to go back to work.
Yeah, it's terrible.
For the fact of, he took credit for what was done for him, and he ought to feel blessed about that.
Well, you know, and he could reach across the aisle and say, I didn't agree with a lot of things that were done, but here's where we can agree and here's where we can move forward. Unity was just a campaign slogan and nothing real. Congressman, I greatly appreciate it. As always, have a great weekend. Tim Walberg from Michigan 7th Congressional District, always here on Fridays. Sir, thank you so much.
Good to be with you.
There you have it. Quick break now. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Don't go anywhere.
No matter where you are in life, here's a question to consider. Do you have the right financial advisor to help you navigate where you want to go? An Ameriprise advisor will take the time to truly understand what's important to you and help you prepare for whatever life brings, both the expected and the unexpected, by providing personalized advice based on your goals and needs, and regular reviews along with digital tools to help you stay on track. With an Ameriprise advisor, you can feel more confident, connected, and in control of your financial life. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call me, Ameriprise Financial Advisor, Craig Stiles, today at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.